You're listening to HuntertonChamberRadio.com, sponsored by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. Our studios are located in the CenturyLink building at 14 Mine Street, Flemington, New Jersey. The content and views of our hosts do not necessarily reflect the views of the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce. To contact our station, call 908-782-7115 or email onair@hunterdon-chamber.org. Thank you to our sponsors and underwriters. Please remember to support them and buy Hunterdon, buy local. Visit www.hunterdonchamberradio.com for a complete listing of our programming.
Obligated to kill three people last year outside two suburban Kansas City Jewish sites. The AP's Steve Coleman reports.
Fraser Glenn Miller Jr. has publicly acknowledged firing the shots that killed 69-year-old William Corcoran, Corcoran's 14-year-old grandson, Reet Griffin Underwood, and 53-year-old Terry Lamano on April 13, 2014 in Johnson County, Kansas. Miller said he was trying to target Jewish people and didn't know that none of the victims was Jewish. Facing a possible death sentence, Miller plans to defend himself, but the judge has refused to let Miller argue that he had a moral duty to stop Jewish people from taking over the country. I'm Steve Coleman.
Donald Trump's campaign has posted his program for immigration reform on its website. Among the details, making Mexico pay for a permanent border wall and mandatory deportation of all criminal aliens. Appearing on NBC's Meet the Press, Trump also said he wants to end the automatic citizenship for U.S.-born children of immigrants living in the country illegally. Meanwhile, today, the GOP presidential candidate is taking a break from campaigning to report for jury duty. More details on this story at usaheadlinenews.com. International stock markets were mostly higher today as China's currency steadied and Greece inched closer to receiving its latest bailout. I'm Kelly Sloan, and you're listening to USA Headline News.
This is Tony Clark, para-planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
The weather today, there's going to be a slight chance of showers, but it's going to be mostly sunny with a steady temperature around 87 degrees. Southwest winds around 7 miles per hour, and the chance of precipitation is 20%. Tonight, it'll be partly cloudy with a low around 66. Southwest winds around 5 miles an hour, becoming calm in the evening. Tuesday, a chance of showers and thunderstorms, mainly between 2 and 5 p.m. Be mostly sunny with a high near 92. Calm winds becoming south 5 to 7 miles an hour in the afternoon, and the chance of precipitation is 30%. New rainfall amounts of less than a tenth of an inch, except higher amounts possible if there's thunderstorms. Tuesday night, a slight chance of showers and thunderstorms before 1 a.m. Wednesday, scattered showers and thunderstorms. Partly sunny, with a high near 88. I always cracks me up when they say showers and thunderstorms, partly sunny. You know, if it's raining, it's not sunny. But anyway, calm winds becoming south 5 to 8 miles an hour in the morning, and the chance of precipitation is now 40%. Wednesday night, scattered showers and thunderstorms. Mostly cloudy with a low around 69. And the chance of precipitation is 30%. Thursday, showers and thunderstorms. More clouds with a high near 85, and a chance of precipitation is now 60%. And Thursday night, showers and thunderstorms likely with a low around 68, and a chance of precipitation is 70%. Good afternoon, and welcome to the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce's Hour with the Hunterdon Medical Center. I'm Larry Cartwright, your host, and we're very privileged today to have with us Rose Pulley. Did I say it right?
Yes, you did.
Okay.
Absolutely correct. Good for you.
That's 2 points. I'll probably screw it up the next time I say it. But this is the Hunterdon County Chamber radio on the internet, and this is the Medical Center's Hour. And we are very privileged to have Rose with us today, as she works for the Hunterdon Healthcare Partners. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Would you explain what that is, since I don't quite know what that is?
Sure. Hunterdon Healthcare Partners is the integrated delivery system. So I work for the entity that is a combination of what we classically in Hunterdon County think of as the hospital.
Okay.
And all the physicians and their practices. So I support the hospital and its efforts for population health, and also all our primary care physicians and all our specialty practices that are associated with Hunterdon Healthcare Partners here in Hunterdon County. So it's a lot. It's like 300 physicians, over 52 sites.
That's like cardiologists.
Infectious disease.
I have to go see the infectious disease doctor tomorrow.
The gastroenterologist.
Right.
We have a huge primary care network, which is wonderful to work with.
Yeah. So. And do you have the ones that are off-site also?
Yes, absolutely.
Like Riverfield?
Yes. I travel around to the sites and work with the doctors. In population health, I'm the director of population health. It's a position that was created about 4 years ago. I've been here 3 years. And what we do is we look at our patient information, our data from the electronic health records, and also public data about our community. And we look at how our patient populations are doing in terms of health and wellness. And then we design, I have a population health committee that I lead, and we design initiatives to help us be healthier and enjoy wellness here in Hunterdon County more than we have in the past. And what we do, it's really an exciting time for this kind of work. I have a background in public health. I've been the Hunterdon County epidemiologist, and I worked in the Hunterdon County Department of Public Health for a long time, for several years, and I was at the State Department of Health. And what this is really nice, that we have this actual data from the electronic health records, and we can look at it, what we call an aggregate, groups of people. So how are our diabetics doing? Are their A1C levels under control? You know, how are they doing overall? And then we can target certain initiatives at people who need help or may not be coming in. For example, we track on a routine basis how many people in our patient population, total patient population, have been screened for colon cancer, because you can prevent colon cancer by going for your colonoscopy.
Yep.
You can prevent it because they can remove the precancerous polyps.
Right.
It's a preventable cancer. And we look at to see what percentage of our patients have been screened for that, and then we try to design outreach to those individuals who haven't been screened and convince them to come in. So that's what population health is all about.
Right. Well, when you say you get these, you use the word, I can't think, it went out of my mind right now, but you're looking at the patients.
Yes.
Right? Is this from when they were in the hospital, or?
I look at outpatient data.
Okay.
So it's basically all our outpatient sites around the county. That's the
information. So if I go to my
cardiologist. And also some other information from community available things.
But if I go to my cardiologist and he fills out all these reports on me and all this jazz,
we don't look at necessarily individual patients' information.
No, I understand what you're saying.
People in groups.
Right, in groups. You know, people who have AFib or whatever.
Yes, myocardial infarction, that kind of thing.
Right. Okay.
So we look at them and say, do we have certain groups of people, do they have a plan, a health plan that can help them understand their disease and work to manage it the best possible or a better path for health?
Right, right.
So, for example, people on Medicare, one of their covered benefits is an annual wellness visit.
Right.
And we track that, how many people in our county over 65 on Medicare have had their visits. And it was not a great percentage.
I do.
When I first started this job. And we've increased significantly the number of people who are going for their wellness visit.
Yeah, I go.
You should, because it's a great chance to get a health plan from your doctor, to have this annual conversation with your doctor so they know you, you know them. You know, to see exactly where you are. Do you need a shift in something?
I happen to know my doctor for many years. I've been going to him for many years, so I know him.
So we do things like that.
Right.
It's really exciting. I love my job, and I love working with the wonderful physicians in the Hunterdon Healthcare Network. They're just super people. They're very open to new ideas, and there's a lot of changes in healthcare, and we're using data in a very different way.
Right.
And I really appreciate their feedback and what we're doing with them.
I I found from when I worked in the corporate world that data could be made to say what certain people wanted it to say rather than what it actually says.
Do you find that absolutely?
You know, and I'm not and, just I'm not trying to be. Yeah. You know,
which is why you have people like me who do analytics and really look to see, is our data quality? Is it really saying what we need to? And we constantly evaluate the information that we're looking at it
right.
to see that it makes sense. When I was talking about feedback from the physicians, when we give them information about their practice or a population they're doing it, does this seem right to you? Mm-hmm. Does it intuitively seem like, is this the kind of percentages that you're expecting? And we even give them demographic information about their practice. Is this the number of elderly people you think you're seeing? Is this the number? So we constantly ask for feedback. And that's really important about data. I think data is misused and maligned, much maligned, inappropriately.
Right.
Many, many ways. Many politically, you know, many,
right.
many ways
right.
that you can go down a bad path with data. But, you know, we really strive to work with high quality, high levels of integrity for our data. And
well, I would hope so.
Evaluate.
You know, like I said, I had many occasions, I hate to say it, but over the years in corporate world where, you know, data was twisted so it would serve a certain purpose, you know, and I just found that very, you know.
Yeah. I think it's easier to be, have a positive attitude toward data when the goal is to make people healthy.
Well, yeah, yeah.
As opposed to
putting money in somebody's pocket, you know. But yeah. it's just that's yeah. the way it was.
The overall
you know?
Goal here is to increase the health and wellness
right.
of our patients.
Right.
And our community.
Yeah. No, I can understand that. Mobile apps. You
yeah.
want to explain? I mean, I am – there's a fellow who is out – long-term sick, but he'll be back at the end of the year, hopefully. That's what it looks like now. But he's all into this mobile stuff, Twitter and Facebook and all this jazz, and he puts us on Facebook and the show that I do prior to this. And he says, well, we got this and we got that, and we got a tweet from New Zealand. You got to be kidding me.
Yeah, that's
he says,
great.
No. He says, yeah, we got one from Australia. Yeah. He says, we got one from Puerto Rico.
Well, there's people from Jersey all over the world.
I says, wow, gee, that's something. He says, don't forget, you're on the internet. You know,
that's
so
correct.
It goes all over. I says, mm-hmm. And mobile apps don't mean a thing to me because I don't know what they're talking about. I have no clue. I have a cell phone that's old, and the only thing it does, it rings. And I open it up, and I answer it, or I don't answer it. You know.
Well, I love talking about technology. So I'm, you know, I will confess, total nerd, total geek, whatever label you want to put on.
Oh,
me,
I don't put any label on. I just can't do it. You know.
I love using technology. You know, I'm not a slave to it for certain, but I definitely like the new stuff. I like to see what's going on out there. I have a great phone, you know, that can download all kinds of apps. And, you know, I'm thrilled to talk to you today about some of the really fun, exciting things that are happening about mobile health applications.
Okay.
Because we're not, you know, I think when we think about Facebook, we think about talking to other people and it's very social and the young people use it. And Twitter is about, you know, people chatting with each other very quickly. But we've got the most ever. The FDA is reviewing. I think there are now 50,000 free and low cost mobile health apps out there available
wow.
to the public. So it's this wide range of things that you can do with an application that you can literally carry with you wherever you go. That's the whole idea of mobile. It's transport.
Mm-hmm.
It's with you. It's with your phone. And people are really attached to their phone. You know, they sleep by them. They take them everywhere, which, you know, whether you agree with that or not, but it is true. It's something that impacts us very daily, if not every minute of our lives.
You see people texting all the time.
Yeah.
I don't have that many people I want to talk to, personally. You know?
Well, I think different generations have different attitudes toward technology. If you think how different it was between regular use of the telephone, when you know, I was in college, we didn't have these mobile phones. You couldn't call people. You couldn't arrange to meet with people. And now you text them, so you can set up things. So your social network is much easier to maintain and easier to connect with than it ever has been before. So I think young adults view technology as kind of like a right. You know, is this something I have to do? Right. I have to do this well. So they're a little more open-minded maybe to these mobile health applications than others, where it's a little harder for us. I didn't have this before. It wasn't part of me as I was growing up.
Our home phone had three other people on it.
You know? My grandmother's party phone line. Has an old party line. Yeah, exactly. So, when we used to visit her, you have to say, is there somebody else on the line?
You got to pick up and you hear somebody talking. All right, you got to wait. I can't make the phone call yet, you know.
So it's a little bit of a different world out there, and we're using mobile app, these applications that you can put on your phone to help you stay healthy, and there are different categories of them. So they're playing a bigger role in healthcare, and one category of mobile health applications is not what we think of like us trying to get healthier on our own, but it's our doctors talking to each other. Okay. So you remember the old days when you'd go to a specialist and you'd go to get your x-ray and you got this like huge thing that you had to carry to mm-hmm. the next doctor, you know, you shoved it under your arm or you put it in the cab and you had this big thing and then carried it up and the doctor looked, you dropped it off and then you went back like 2 weeks later and, you know, hoping the doctor looked at it or we faxed information back and forth. Well, a segment of these new apps is just really secure ways for doctors to communicate with each other on mobile devices. Mm-hmm. So they can get them, you know, if they're on call in their home, a radiologist can open up an x-ray or an MRI and see it and be able to give advice to someone who needs it, maybe in the emergency room or someone. So it's a wonderful way for, you know, we think of it as us talking to our doctors or us talking to each other, but it's actually doctors talking to other doctors, which is a really important segment of the mobile health app part right now. It's really interesting. We want them to talk to each other, and we want our doctors to coordinate our care.
It's ironic because we were on vacation. Well, I was in the hospital while everybody else in the family was on vacation. I was in Salisbury. We were going camping with my daughter doesn't camp, but my three sons and my granddaughter and her best friend and her best friend's younger sister and, you know, yada, yada. And I wound up in a hospital for the whole time with cellulitis, and they thought maybe Mercer was involved also. So
that's serious.
You know, and it hurt like the devil. Mm-hmm. And but when I got out, I called this lady up, and it was in Salisbury, Maryland, where I was in the hospital. And she sent all the reports from the hospital to my cardiologist and my GP, and because the day after I got discharged, I went to see the cardiologist, and they had everything. And, you know, and I'm thinking, wow,
it's amazing. It was probably through a patient portal.
Yeah.
Or some device.
Or whatever,
And some of the portals have mobile health apps that you can put it right on your phone. You can go into your patient portal on your phone. If you're traveling, you know, and your doctor's like, did you have, you know, you're involved in something, an incident where you're traveling or you fall ill and you went, you know, did you have your pneumonia vaccination? Well, you can look it up on your phone.
Right.
How wonderful is that? If you know
how to do that. People like me don't know how to do
hand
that.
Hand it to your grandchild.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, God,
hand
yes.
it to that's, your, yeah. your son or daughter. They'll be able to pick it up
absolutely.
Right away.
Absolutely.
So that's what I tell people. If you can't do it yourself, someone in your family can help you. And they'll probably be thrilled.
I have a problem with my computer. I call my granddaughter. She comes over and does it. You know? So,
in one of the, I think one of the fears that we have, you know, us older folks, and I put myself in that category, is that I think we come from a time when making a mistake was a bigger deal with technology because it was so expensive back then.
Right.
And so few people used it. It was like the secret place that was in the government or in these big mm-hmm. corporations, and it was behind all these walls, and it was you know, like frozen, and you couldn't get to it, and only certain people could walk in there. That if you made a mistake, it was like costly. You know, and we think of computers as something precious. Young people, they make mistakes, they just do it again. You know, they just plug it in again, they type some more. It's not a big deal.
It's kind of ironic because I remember in the corporate world, the first time they had computers, and they had it in a separate room, mm-hmm. all glassed and soundproof. And, you know, anybody just couldn't walk in because the doors were locked. You know, only the people working there had to pass to get
absolutely.
In.
Absolutely.
And of that, you know, what is this like, you know, like the Secret Service or something, you know.
Exactly. It was hands off only a few people.
Only a few people in the whole company could do it. And, you know.
Totally different thing now where you go on your phone, you download an application where you can enter medical information about yourself.
It's just, you know, how far it has come, you know.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying that it's above my level of intelligence.
It's a little different mindset. but I try to encourage people to at least be open-minded to it because it can help you.
Oh, yeah. I'm not disputing that. I just think that, you know, I would have to go through a, you know, two-month training session on how to do it first. But,
well, go ahead.
I was just thinking, are there any apps that you use or would recommend that people do?
I have some favorites. And, okay. I asked my Pop Health Committee. I told them I was coming to be on the air with you, and I was really excited about that. And I said, what app should I talk about? So one of the first apps that I use, which is still a wonderful app, is called MyFitnessPal. And it's basically a calorie and designed to help people lose weight or keep track of what you eat. So it's a nutrition weight management app. And it has a function that you put in what you've eaten, and it calculates the calories that is. And you can put in what activities you've done, and it takes away, and it shows you what your balance is for the day. And it also will tell you the nutritional content of your food. You know, how much protein you've had, have you had a certain salt level? So it gives you this information, like, are you eating a healthy diet, even?
What is the name of this?
It's called MyFitnessPal. One word. So if you go to the App Store, any of the App Stores, the iPhone, the Android, the Google Play, any of the App Stores, and look for MyFitnessPal, you can see it, and it's free. I mean, you can buy more sophisticated versions, but a lot of these apps are free.
Free is always good.
Free is wonderful.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially it can help you be healthy. One of the really cool features of this, if your phone supports it, that it will scan a barcode. So if I eat, you know, I eat in the morning, I'm pretty consistent, if not boring, but I eat a little tub of yogurt, you know, a little thing of yogurt, I can scan that barcode in, and my MyFitnessPal will enter that in as breakfast. So it'll enter the calorie content, the nutritional information into the program. All I have to do is scan it.
Say, for argument's sake, you had a bowl of cereal.
You can add that in. And what you do, you type in cereal, and then it lists all these variations of cereal.
So
cereal
like
with bananas.
Or something.
Cheerios.
You know.
And you gain the history of everyone who's ever entered the information in. So you can do a custom entry, or you can pick the next nearest. And a lot of people think, I have to be exact on. It doesn't say, you know, a cup and a half of Cheerios. And it's like, my opinion about that, pick the nearest one. Then at least you have an idea of how many calories you've consumed compared to how many calories you've burned. And that can help you if you want to lose weight in a safe way. You know, a lot of people try dieting in a very unsafe way or inappropriate way. They think they can just stop eating, you know, or just eat differently or stop it. It's really a long process that takes a little bit of planning and a little bit of effort.
Or you can go in the hospital for 10 days and lose 20 pounds like I did.
you know? That's not the best one.
No. But hey, I lost 20 pounds. it's not.
Yeah,
it's
that's
not,
a
good
way to go.
I wouldn't suggest everybody do it. But
no. You know. And it's a, I think people will be surprised, especially if you look at the nutrition content. You know, does the food you're having have too much salt? You know, a lot of people with hypertension, that's a big deal.
Sure.
So when you intake salt, your fluid balance can go out of whack. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, down in those chips during the football game, you know, we're all looking forward to football season, can impact you and your medications a little more than maybe you're taking into account.
Exactly.
So this can tell you if your sodium content's a little high today. It's a really nice application. So if you want to try an easy, you know, I don't even like the word dieting, kind of weight control or calorie consciousness application, MyFitnessPal is a really good one.
Can you do that on a computer?
Yeah. There's a computer version on it. You can put it on your phone. You can put it on your computer, your iPad, or any kind of tablet.
I don't have any of that stuff. But I have a computer.
Nice.
I have a computer.
Yeah.
That's why I asked if I could put it on a computer.
Yeah. Well, you might want to consider a tablet because it's a really nice option from a computer, sometimes easier to use. There are all different variations of tablets out there by different manufacturers. And it's a bigger view. So like me, I need the bifocals. I've had bifocals my entire life. I got these progressive things. I move my head around, just try to get everything into view. But if you have a little bigger screen, it can help you enjoy some of these apps a little more. So pretty much everything I'm telling you about has a mobile phone version and a tablet version that'd be useful. I also like, in terms of the consumer apps, I like the Fitbit. Fitbit is a device that you can wear. I don't have mine in a place you can see it today, but mine is a little tiny. I have the Fitbit. I'm trying to remember what I call it. It's the little one, the smallest one, and it's you just clip it onto your clothing, and it basically measures how much you walk. So it'll give you how many steps you're doing.
Right.
So it's like,
right.
it's a kind of like a fancy pedometer,
mm-hmm.
only it syncs with your phone and your computer, and you can buy devices that work with it. So it syncs with my scale at home.
Okay.
And my husband was on a weight loss. He had some medical issues that he didn't like, and he lost 30 pounds. So we got, for Christmas one year, he bought the entire family Fitbits, minis,
yeah,
those little tiny ones.
Right.
And we wore them, and we have a social network. So even there, you can see each other's results.
Mm-hmm.
So there's all kinds of wonderful studies that show that if we do change, behavior change together in a group, that it works better for us than if we just try it on our own.
Yeah.
So the fact that our whole family, you know, I was also trying to eat better at that particular point in time, and we do healthier eating now. So it tracks everybody's process. So you can see who walked the most in a single day. You know, typically when my daughters, who lives in a city where she walks to a lot,
sure,
so you can see people who work, you can see the difference there. I think one of the most startling revelations I had when I put that on was how little I was walking when I worked an entire day.
Mm-hmm.
That I would go for 10 hours and sit and do very, you know, 1,000, 2,000 steps in a good healthy day is 10,000 steps. You know, I think for a person who's sedentary, maybe 5,000 steps. So, you know, you need to set a goal that's good for you, but you really realize how much we sit when we have certain jobs that don't get us up and moving.
Yep.
And sitting is the new smoking. Sitting all the time is just not good for you. We need to get up and move around. And these mobile health apps like Fitbit makes us conscious of how much we're
sitting.
How you
doing? Right.
And it's really simple. It's a simple thing. It gives you the time. You tap it. Gives you a little happy face if you're moving at all. And then it tells you how many steps. And it tells you how many calories you've burned. So if you have in mind how many calories you can eat if you're trying to lose weight, and if how many you'd like, or you set a standard for how many steps and how many calories you know, you're burning as you're walking. And this is a simple measurement. It doesn't capture every physical activity. But I find that useful just to have that little bit of feedback about what's going on. If I'm not moving enough, I need to take, you know, I need to take some actions when I get home to move around a little bit, do some yard work, exercise a little bit.
Yeah.
So it's really useful.
Yeah, because it's true. Like a lot of people, you know, have a desk job.
Lots of people have desk jobs.
Right. And what do? They sit at the desk all day.
Yeah.
You know, okay, they get on a bus, they take the bus to work, or they take a train or whatever, or they drive, and, you know, and they get out of the car or bus or, you know, train, and then they go sit in the office, and then, oh, gee, they go to lunch. A lot of times they'll eat the lunch at their desk.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
And not go to lunch outside or walk around or anything.
Absolutely true.
And it's true.
Yeah.
It's very true.
And they come home feeling exhausted.
Right.
Yeah. You know, and then
tired
they,
from
so
sitting
they,
around
they
doing
sit,
nothing.
Have
or, well,
their dinner.
You know,
well, or it's intellectually exhausting, but not physically exhausting.
Right.
So then they come home and they have dinner, and then they sit and they may watch TV, and some people just get on the computer again at home.
Yeah.
Yeah. You see this in young people. It's like, you've done the computer all day. Is that really something you want to get back into when you're home? But some people have long work days and they have to get back on the computer. And, you know, how you manage your work life is up to you. But keep in mind, sitting for long periods of time without breaks and not getting enough steps or activity in your day is bad for your health. A lot of people have the attitude that, you know, if I'm not sick, therefore I am healthy. That's not quite
That's
true.
That's not quite true is right.
All right. If you're not sick, but health is not a default. We just don't default to healthiness or fitness. It's an active pursuit. So people, you know, I want to have this certain job, or I want to do this certain activity, I want to plan my vacation. You have to plan to be healthy.
Mm-hmm.
You just don't fall into it.
Right.
So, and I think sometimes we need these clues or prompts or tips that these mobile health apps can provide for us to help us take that good path to health.
Right.
You know, to help us understand exactly
what we're
doing.
I think all of us need a kick to get going and do it. You know
I
what
certainly
I mean?
Do.
Well, I
some
do
days.
Too. You know,
some
definitely.
Days more than others.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean you can't, you know, have an off day.
Of course. Absolutely.
But you know, to overall.
Don't string nine of them together, though, you know.
Exactly. Or months
Yeah,
together.
Or months
That's
together, right.
really bad
right.
for you.
But, you know, it's. Okay. I know we were just talking about fitness tracking.
Yeah.
Okay. And your opinion of them, I assume, is that they're good.
I like them.
Right. Do they work for the average people?
I think if you use them well, they do. You know, I certainly know people who have bought like a wrist thing and thought they were going to do a change and then have been disappointed that they haven't used it the way they wanted to. So you need to make a commitment to it and to use it well. So no, it doesn't work for everybody. You have to understand what you're doing. You need a goal, and then you need to pick the right one. And it's important when you go to download a mobile app to look at the description, because it'll give you a view of what the mm-hmm. app looks like, and you can run through it. And all of them on the app stores have reviews. So read through those reviews and see if it's really what you want it to do. And the free ones you can try.
Sure. If
it's free, you can download it and try. But you got to match what you can do to what the information the app provides you. If it's so sophisticated or difficult for you to use, that's not useful to you. You're not going to use it or feel good about it.
Mm-hmm.
If it's easy, like I really like the smallest Fitbit because it's very small. I can wear it pretty much all the time. And it's simple to use. You just tap it. It gives me the information I need. There are much more sophisticated programs out there, but I really don't need that for my point right now, an exercise. Mm-hmm. I'm not an extreme athlete. Not trying to be an extreme athlete. I'm trying to be fit, not necessarily athletic.
Right.
There's a difference. And I think a lot of people, they see these super athletes when they want to get fit. And I was like, no, that's not necessarily the view of health mm-hmm. for you.
Right, right.
You know, you have to look at where you are and where you want to be. So what's your goal? Is your goal to take a long walk, to do more with your grandchildren, to climb upstairs, to do this? And you can, talk to your doctor about setting healthy goals and then pick an application that's right for your goal at that certain
right,
point in time.
Right. Yeah, I go to the gym.
Yeah, that's
and
great.
I love going, and I've been have a problem here the last month or so I haven't been able to go, and it's driving me crazy because I want to go, but I can't because of my leg right now. So, but it's one of those things, but I enjoy going.
Yeah, a lot of the gyms have apps associated with their sites, and you can schedule classes.
That's right.
The applications.
Yep.
So you can, if you want to take a certain fitness class, you can go on there and reserve it. Right.
Yeah, I had a consultation with a trainer for an hour, and she told me what to do one day and then exercise to do the next day. We're not the same, so you're not doing the same routine every day, And I found it's been working great.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
That's why I want to get back to it.
That's wonderful. And it is another mistake, a common mistake that people make is that they try fitness or they try an extra level of activity and then they get injured because they do it every day. And it's important
to not only do exercise
and then let your muscles rest.
And not only that, like she said, do 5 minutes.
Yeah.
6 weeks down the road, maybe you do 10 or 15, but start slow. She says, you don't have to, you don't want to hurt yourself. You don't want to strain muscles. You don't want to pull muscles or any of this other stuff. She says, so just do, if you can do 15 minutes on a bike, do it.
Yeah.
If you can do 30, that's okay too.
Yeah.
But if you can't, do 10, or do 5. It doesn't matter as long as you're doing something,
Right.
And I agree with her. I mean, I there's certain things I can do. And there's certain things I can't do, So I realize those I can't do, and I work around them,
Yeah.
But
that's a good attitude, to take it slow and easy.
Right,
and
exactly.
What's appropriate for you.
Right.
And to have someone who's a specialist in the area give you really good advice.
And I'm not looking to, get on some, magazine cover or anything. Not at my age, not in my lifestyle. But, but I need to go to the gym to do these things, because if I had to do it at home, I'd never do it. So if I pay a little bit per month, then I'm saying, well, I'm paying for it, so I might as well use it.
And that motivates a lot of people.
It's true. I mean, if I had to do it at home, I wouldn't do it.
Yeah. Well, I do have one that's good. I have that trouble, not when I'm at home. I exercise at home. But when I travel, I find it difficult to exercise. I don't like going to those, fitness centers and hotels.
Right.
Yuck. I don't know why. It's some people do it.
I don't either.
This is not my thing.
I don't either.
I like the app called Simply Yoga. So I do yoga routines And I've had some yoga. I'm not an expert in yoga. Mm-hmm. I've had a few classes, so I know enough. You know, I can do a few moves. It's simple. But it gives you a choice of a 20, a 40-minute, or a 60-minute yoga routine that's very simple, very repetitive. And I do yoga when I go to conferences.
That's awesome.
And I just set it up on my phone, and it plays nice music, and I see the person doing the yoga on it, and I do the same thing. And it's just enough to make me feel better when I'm traveling.
Right.
And it's easy to get out of sorts, and it just you know, gives my mind a chance to rest. But it's another very free app that you can put on your phone, and it's something that you can do to stay active and healthy while you're traveling.
Right. You know, and it's, well, you know, it's good, especially if you travel. Like, I used to travel quite a bit. I had plants from Maine to Florida, and so I was always traveling.
Yeah, you don't eat well when you travel sometimes.
Yeah. I remember waking up and going, where am I? What town am I in? Where do I see? I was in Alabama yesterday. Where am I? You know, and I couldn't think where I was. You know, it was just like, duh. You know, but oh well. Yeah, but people do travel a lot, and
it,
you know,
it does, and it's a way to kind of keep in contact with the routine that you like,
right?
And it's easy to do. Well, the biggest use of health applications right now is fitness, diet, and weight loss. Exercise. Mm-hmm. And the other one is health information. So there's some interesting things out there in that line. One of the ones that my colleagues, two of the ones that I have two to tell you about that my colleagues recommended, the first one is called My Skin Pal. And we have you know, higher than the state average of melanoma, you know, skin cancer in Hunterdon County.
I know what it is, yeah.
Yeah, so that's of concern, and it's something you try to get a handle on, and it's hard. It can be hard. Does everybody go to the dermatologist enough? Do you go to a primary care physician enough to detect, you know, progressing melanoma or different types of skin cancer? And there's this app where you can take a picture of a mole, and it keeps it on file. You document where it is on your body in this app. And then, and it prompts you to look at that mole in 30 days. And one of the signs we look for skin cancer is changes in moles.
Right.
So it prompts you to look at it, and you have this picture on file, you know, on record that you've been tracking this, you know, if you do this, and you could show it to your doctor. Well, here's what it looked like, and now it's changing. So I think those kinds of things can be powerful moving forward as they get better and better. But I think for people who have an occupational hazard, who work outside, or people who enjoy athletics outside, or just spend a lot of time outside, that's really important to have something like that. So it's a way that you can track a potential risk that you have.
Yeah,
and
I
keep
had
it.
My wife has had it.
Lots of people have had it. My mom just had a lesion removed. So yeah, it's important. And we haven't been able to do that kind of thing. It's us kind of taking responsibility for our own health and being really good partners with our physicians, which I think a lot of physicians would breathe, you know, a bit of a sigh of relief if more patients were kind of like active partners in their health instead of like, cure me.
Yeah.
You know, I'm here. Yeah. Make me better. Which sometimes is difficult to do.
Sure.
You know,
absolutely.
Because the patient needs to take their part
absolutely.
Of the plan,
right.
of the health plan.
Right.
So I think an app that can help you track unusual skin growth is a good idea.
Yeah, my wife just had it on the, like, the where the nose meets the cheek.
Yeah, they tend to happen where you don't put sunscreen.
Right.
You know, you should wear sunscreen. Right. We have a hot, sunny day today. Sunscreen. I put sunscreen on every
and
day of my life.
Now she's got to go back again because they found more there. They got to go in deeper and get more out. So, you know.
Yeah,
and,
not fun.
No.
Not at all.
And I had it on my side, you know. So, anyway, it's, you know, it's there, and it's thankfully that they can do it, you know. Yeah. That there is, you know, people who can do this and, you know, doctors who are knowledgeable enough to get it and do it, and you know, so I think that's
it's a concern. It's really, so that's one of them. There are other ones out there. So I encourage people if you work in the sun or you're in the sun a lot, if you haven't spent a part of your life and you didn't wear a lot of sunscreen, you know, some of us younger ones, you know, had a few really bad sunburns in my early days. You know, something like that, a skin app that monitors your moles, like My Skin Pal, might be a really good idea.
Okay.
Think about it.
All right. We're going to have to take a quick break. You're listening to the Hunterdon County
Medical Center's Hour on Huntington County Chamber Radio, and we'll be back in just a few moments.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Huntington is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Huntington at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Huntington, the voice for mental health in Huntington County.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weichert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Huntington on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Huntington Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Huntington Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
The Huntington County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HuntingChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Huntington County, New Jersey.
Hi, I'm Pat Smits, Law Offices of Patricia Garrity Smits, LLC. The Huntington Chamber is a great resource to find the best local business people and meet new friends.
Huntington Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
Welcome back to the Medical Center's Hour on Huntington County Chamber Radio, and we have been talking with Rose Pulley, who is from the Huntington Healthcare Partners.
That's correct.
Correct? Hey, yes. Okay, I got yes. It right. And we've been talking about all sorts of mobile apps and various applications that are now being used and can be used and what are free online and to improve our health. And now, when you see mobile apps being used for improving the health and treatment of, or how do you see mobile apps being used to improve the health and welfare of patients?
Yeah, well, I think one of the newest things that's happening is there's actually a health app, and there health apps, some of the health apps are actually approved by the FDA, and there's a health app now for diabetes management that's actually considered a mobile prescription therapy, and a doctor can prescribe it like you prescribe a drug. It has like a drug label associated with. And it helps a patient it gives them education about diabetes. It helps them understand what their medications are and what levels of medication. It provides information to their doctor. So we're getting to the point, and this is one that has been approved, but I would not be surprised if there were many of these in our future that go through the FDA. And the FDA is looking at, I think, more health applications than they ever have in 2015. 100 products are FDA approved. But this is the only one I know of that's an actual mobile prescription therapy that a doctor can prescribe it as part of your treatment for diabetes. So we're getting to the point where these mobile health apps are kind of the equivalent or are being treated like a drug,
right?
Like a medication.
Right.
And we're going to go more and more in that direction.
Yeah.
And so I think asthma, you know, mobile health apps to monitor environmental quality and to help people manage their asthma treatment might be in our future. More along the lines of diabetes, I think more sophisticated for weight, you know, management there. So I don't know what's out there. I'm not the techie end of this. I'm kind of like the user end of it and the analytic end of it. But I think there are a lot of interesting things in the future for health apps, and I think it pays to pay a bit of attention to it. So if there's one that comes along that could help you, you're ready to grab onto it and try it.
It's interesting because my doctors tell me that I'm pre-diabetic. Now, some people don't feel there is such a thing as pre-diabetic. They're either diabetic or you're not. I'm on medication. I never take sugar samples from pricking my finger or anything. I have never done that. I don't want to do that if I can help it. But I am on some medication. And, you know, I try to watch sugar that I eat.
A good idea.
I cut back on all the sugar and that sort of thing. But it's like, you know, like I said, and some people say, oh, you're diabetic. Well, who do I listen to? You? Oh, my doctor, you know, and is there such a thing as pre-diabetic?
We do have some definitions of like a pre-diabetes state. It's typically people who their A1C, their glucose is a little bit on the edge of being diabetic, or their A1C level, call A1C. It's the way we monitor for diabetes. And yes, the doctors do test your blood as part of a normal, you know, routine to see if you are. So I think, you know, whether it's technically I'm an MD, PhD here, not MD, so I'm not going to give you medical advice.
No, but I'm not asking that, but I'm just, you know, in general.
We have many people in Hunterdon County who are like you, who fall into this category where, you know, they're kind of close to about diabetes, but not there yet.
And I get blood work done, you know, periodically, about every 6 months from my primary care.
And I bet one of the pieces of advice your doctor gives you is to lose a bit of weight.
Oh, yeah. 20 pounds in the hospital I lost. I was happy about that.
Yeah, and that's pretty much what you hear from our physicians. If you were to ask them what is the big again, and I look at population-based data in Hunterdon County, and the one thing that I would focus on would be adult weight.
And, you know, they say, I'll lose weight. And you try. It's not easy at all.
No, it's not.
I don't care if you change your diet and you do all this other stuff. It's not easy.
It's not easy. And it requires behavior modification.
And it's frustrating because, like, you know, I'll weigh myself one day and in the morning, like after getting up or whatever, before I eat or anything, and I'm X. The next day, I'm 3 pounds more. What? I didn't do anything, you know. It's like very frustrating, you know. But, you know, it's just you keep going and do what you try to do, you know.
Which is why some of these health apps are nice, because they give you encouragement.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they could show your progress so you can see it as you're coming down.
Right,
you know, they
right.
they track your weight, they track your better eating habits, and kind of give you little positive messages that you're doing well. Keep up with it. If you're in a social network, your family and friends can give you positive messages. It's about, I think a lot of people struggle the most with changing their eating habits to lose weight. And then you need to change your eating habits to stay away from the foods that are kind of getting you in trouble. And for different people, that's different things.
Right.
You know, it's not
exactly.
necessarily sweets for everybody.
No,
it really
I
is.
Understand.
You think of this candy, it's not necessarily sweets for everybody.
Right.
For my husband, it was pizza. He was just, you know, you'd be amazed at the calories in a slice of pizza. It's a
mm-hmm.
lot. It's a lot. So it's changing, you know, those eating habits combined with increased physical activity. That's the winning combo right there. Changing how you eat to a healthier eating style, more vegetables, more, you know, the 3/4 of your plate should be green.
Right.
Or something, you know, along those lines and mm-hmm. tiny, smaller amounts of protein, but don't eliminate protein.
That's right.
But a healthy plate attitude. We have some wonderful nutritional diabetes education specialists in the Hunter and Healthcare System at our Center for Nutritional Health. Wonderful people who can provide all kinds of guidance on and wonderful lectures and group classes on healthy eating. And, you know, I've talked to these people. They've come in. They've done workplace health and wellness mm-hmm. for us at Hunter and Healthcare Partners. But they'll give you a information that really can be life-changing. It can if you listen to it and you do that healthy plate concept. But you really need to do both. You need to change your eating habits and your amount of activity. And then one of these, you know, even a simple pedometer or something like a Fitbit can tell you how much you're moving, or as it was in my case, I wasn't moving.
Right, right.
And that can be startling. And sometimes you need that. Like I said, we talk about the jolt to make you change your attitude
right,
and
right.
really get, you know, do something that's good for you. That's kind of the jolt you need. And sometimes like a reward, you know. If,
mm-hmm.
if I get to this goal, then I'll take a hike. Or I get to this goal, I'll take a special trip. Or I get to this goal and we can celebrate in a certain way. But having appropriate goals that you're put in there and appropriate reminders and that social network.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just you. At my husband's workplace, he, I think, was one of the first ones who took on, you know, this weight loss path. And then I think they have a group of like 5 or 6 of them. And combined, they've lost over 150 pounds.
That's
between
awesome.
These men.
Right.
And they're feeling, you will feel so much better if you go on a path like
mm-hmm.
this.
Mm-hmm.
So it's worth the try. It's really worth the trying, and expect it's going to take a long time. That's normal.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to take a long time, but it's absolutely worth it. And there's actually another app that we haven't talked about that falls into a different category. We've talked about the prescription one, but there's a lot of well-being apps out there that are like can help you meditate and, you know, calm and focus.
Mm-hmm.
Those kinds of things. I'm looking for the name of it. One of my colleagues gave it. Headspace is the name of a free app that it's you get 10 basically free lessons on this app. It's called Headspace on how to do meditation. And they're just 10-minute sessions. And it's this kind of lovely sounding. You can hear some music in the background.
Right, right.
And it's a man with a slightly British accent telling you how to, you know, breathe slowly and think about the moment and focus. And it's really good.
Right.
You know, a lot of
right.
people have liked this app.
Uh-huh.
And then, you know, if you want, if you have a certain need, if you're trying to lose weight or you're trying to deal with stress, then you can purchase, you know, series that could that can help you.
Right.
But, you know, just the basic series of 10 to teach you to take a moment and relax and think about where you are and just kind of pull yourself out for a moment can be very refreshing and
sure.
helpful to people because yep. we're on this constant, you know,
right.
hamster wheel of trying to do everything, get everything done and mm-hmm. moving around. So apps now, you can even do an app that can help you relax in a different way.
Hmm. It's interesting. It really is. I find it amazing. I really do. You know, that these things are popping up and, you know, they're good. There's nothing wrong with them. They're awesome. It's just, you know, it's just so amazing, you know, to see all this more and more healthy applications being applied and, you know, that's awesome. It really is.
Yeah, I think you can choose your path, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think the old style to get healthy was maybe you went to the gym and you had an instructor. I remember the get rid of that chicken fat. What was that song about the chicken fat? Go, you chicken fat, go away. I remember that. I remember exercising to that in high school and oh, get me out of here.
Yeah, exactly.
But it was a great song. It definitely is in my memory. I can remember it.
You remembered it.
I remembered it. And that, again, being physically fit was kind of equivalent to being an athlete. We all don't have to be athletes.
No.
Fitness can
true.
Be very personal and wonderful for us on an individual level.
Right.
And it's something we all can work toward.
In the last couple minutes, do you want to tell us how you feel mobile apps are going to develop in the future?
Oh, I think there'll be more that are prescriptions.
More
that are prescriptions.
Okay.
That your doctor will. I was just looking at a survey before I came in here. There was a survey about from a tech group that says 85% of physicians believe that mobile apps will play a role for them in their patients' health, in management of their patients' health in the next 5 years. So physicians are coming to the realization that mobile health apps are going to play a role in how patients do healthcare and how patients are engaged in healthcare. There's this whole concept of personalized medicine and the quantified self. So our health apps are gathering data about it, us, great data, and that data we'll be able to share with our doctors easier than we've ever been able to do in the past. And that can help them understand us and the best path for us to stay healthy or recover from a disease.
Right.
So I think that quantified self, personalized medicine, and the interaction of the health apps and how your physician's going to use them in the future and how we can use them to engage in health. We call it patient engagement in the healthcare world. How patients are engaged. I think many more patients will be engaged in their health because mobile health apps are available now, and more of them will be available in the future.
I think that's awesome. Is there a email address or a phone number that you would like to give in case anybody could reach out?
So I'm Rose Pulley. I'm the Director of Population Health. If you have a question, I'd be happy to want to understand more about what population health is or more information about mobile health apps that I know. Again, I'm not necessarily an expert, but we're learning more about it and how to use them. My telephone number is 908-806-8222, extension 2979.
Why don't you give it again in case they're still writing?
All right. So it's 908-806-8222, extension 2979.
Well, Rose, I can't thank you enough because it's been a very interesting hour. I really feel that. Seriously, I just find it amazing because, when you stop and think back, like we were talking earlier, when I was a kid, we didn't even have a telephone, so there was no phone in our house, it was like one television on two floors of, 12 families living, and one phone on three floors, So if you needed a phone, you ran downstairs and they hoped the people were home.
Yeah.
But
we're much more connected.
Yes.
Than we used to be. And in healthcare, it's changing the way we do healthcare.
I think if it improves and it helps people, then it's well worthwhile.
Absolutely.
And I really appreciate you coming.
Oh, my pleasure. Pleasure speaking to you this afternoon.
And it's been the 100 Medical Centers Hour, and we are going to be having another 100 Medical Center Hour in just a few moments. And the host will be Chris Phelan. He will be emceeing for the guest. And we will be back again next week. So take care of yourself and look up some of those apps we talked about. We'll see you next week.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Headline News. I'm Kelly Sloan. More classified emails have been found on Hillary Clinton's email server from when she was Secretary of State. Presidential candidate South Carolina Senator Lindsey Graham told CBS Face the Nation that communications need to be revealed about the attacks on Benghazi.
If there's no emails about Benghazi to her or from her, that just doesn't sound right to me, and I want to see the Benghazi emails.
Investigators say the review will take several months. The death toll is climbing in Thailand. Officials say at least 16 people are dead. Security video shows a flash as the bomb went off during rush hour at a popular shrine in Bangkok. No claim yet of responsibility. A short earthquake rattled the San Francisco Bay Area, but there are no reports of injuries. The U.S. Geological Survey said the 4.0 magnitude quake struck this morning and was centered just north of Piedmont near Berkeley. No word yet on any property damage. This is USA.